Great job, choir, and junior choir. Great job this morning. Turning with me to Philippians chapter 3, read verses 10 through 14. Satan goes for a new year. I know I touched on the new year last week as well. Matter of fact, we could probably talk about the new year all the way through the year, all the way through January, to really set some goal in life. And that's what chapter 3 of Philippians says, the goal of life. That was Paul's, I think that was his key thought in life, to have a goal to serve the Lord and be faithful. And you'll understand that when I read these verses here in chapter 3 of Philippians. Verse 10 says, that I may know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become, see the word perfect in there? But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And in verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it wouldn't hurt to read that passage of Scripture like on a daily basis to remind you of our responsibility, our drive, our zeal for the Lord. And truly, Paul had a love for Christ that is indescribable, because it showed in his life, in his ministries, in his sacrifices and so forth he made in life. So this is a great time to go forward in the year 2017. You think about it, you might have made New Year's resolutions and so forth. Usually they come and they go with the year, don't they? But praise God. Now, I was thinking this week, just praise God for how he's brought us together. You know, doesn't seem like 8 years ago, does it? To me, not at all. Time goes so fast. As you look back, you see a lot of things accomplished and so forth. And he brought us together in 2008. And we have witnessed many saved, many baptized, thousands of dollars of improvements, debt-free. Our mission giving continues to support of our missionaries. And then there's the gift of God and opportunities he has given us to reach out to minister in our community, and we've been doing that. And in this year, well, this past year in December, and throughout the year, we see how God has opened up opportunities for us, and those we may never wrap our minds around. I was just thinking, all the opportunities and all the things that has affected people's lives because of the ministries that we cannot wrap our minds around, but God knows about them. At the same time, opportunities that are coming our way are blessings from God this coming year. So, to God be the glory, I say. And yet, this message reminds us to find some disappointments in our lives. Now, what I mean by that is when Christians and church are on cruise control, which means coasting, God is not pleased with that, is he? How many of you use cruise control when you're driving? Do you always relax while you're doing that? Sometimes, I mean, it's hard to relax. Well, you might, the one that's driving may relax, but the one that's passenger doesn't relax. My daughter was in, you know, for after Christmas for a week, and she went on a little road trip with me. And I would have thought that I was a teenager that had just learned how to drive. She was scared out of her wits. She said, "Dad, you're too close to the edge of the road. You're driving too fast." And Brenda would testify to this. I never drive fast. I was doing 40 and a 35. I was driving too fast. So she was a nervous wreck by the time we got there and got back home. But I didn't have it on cruise control, not on these roads. Those are some of the things we think about. How many of you really relax, you know, in life when you see the responsibilities and so forth that you have? And those responsibilities that the Lord placed upon our hearts that are true and sincere that we need to be doing, we can relax knowing that, you know, he's going to help us through that. But if we pile more on than we need and can't accomplish, then we can't relax at all. So for a church to go forward, it doesn't require people to go backward, right? Does that make sense to you? I was thinking about that. It just requires to stand still. And have you found a comfort zone in your spiritual life? We're not talking about contentment here at all. Now, when we look at materialism, godliness with contentment is a great thing. Now, when we look at life spirituality or the spiritual things in our life, don't ever be content. Don't ever be satisfied. Be dissatisfied if you're not growing, if you're not into the Word of God. And if you haven't made reading through the Bible a part of your yearly responsibility, think about this year. I mean, you can get caught up. It's only been, 8 days into January. You can do some backtracking and catch up on a Bible reading plan. I tell you what, God would enrich your life so much if you would do that. Not only Bible reading, but spend a little time. I have found through reading through the Bible and so forth that sometimes I come across a verse that it just hits me between the eyes that maybe I haven't thought about before, and I realize, man, I need to deal with this. I need to think about what this really means and how it is to be interpreted in my life, how to apply it and so forth. And I have found when I do that and take that time to read and study and pray and say, "Lord, what does this really mean? How can I apply it to my life?" He makes it very plain to me. And then therefore, I realize, okay, here I can start growing and maturing in my life even more than I am now and when I started in my Christian life back in 1964, when I was saved, April 15th, 1964. Here's the attitude to have. However much I read my Bible in the last year, it wasn't enough. And for me, I read it every day, I study it every day, and it's still not enough. I cannot get enough. However much you prayed this last year, it's not enough. You can do more. How much you gave last year. You know, God has blessed you to give. We can give. How much you served last year. Sometimes we look back. It's not enough. We can't outgive God. We can't outserve God because he has equipped us to do that. However much we worshiped last year. You think about it. However much you worshiped last year wasn't enough. We can improve even on that, on our Bible study and so forth. Philippians chapter 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, what does that mean? I have not yet count myself to have apprehended. Paul was saying, I haven't arrived there yet, but I am striving to get there. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get distracted. And Paul rarely ever got distracted. Matter of fact, he distracted others because they wanted to kill him. But because of his belief and his stance for the Lord. So, he says, I haven't arrived there yet. So, spiritual exercise will help you grow in faith and character. And as we repeat exercise to tone up our bodies, so that we must steadily repeat spiritual exercises to be spiritually fit. And that's what reading, studying the Bible, like Bible study, like self-discipline, Christian service. You know, when we do this, we will be better Christians. We will be more mature Christians. We will be able to, when the Bible says, be prepared, ready to give an account to someone who comes to you and asks what something means. In a word, of what Christianity means to you, what life really means to you. A lot of people don't understand what life means to them because they don't know who the true life giver is, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the true life giver, and he will sustain us and give us. So such a life will attract others to Christ and pay great dividends in this present life and in the next to come. So we should never be satisfied with our spiritual growth. Are you satisfied with your spiritual growth? Raise your hand. Okay? That's a good place to start right there, isn't it? To keep on keeping on. If we know we're not satisfied, and we don't want to stand still, that means we need to press on, as Paul would say. Okay, next. Let's look at find some devotion. Paul says in verse 13, but this one thing I do, one of the most important phrases right here, but this one thing I do, and of course there are other things like this as well, like to the self-righteous young ruler, Jesus said, one thing you likest. Now, Paul says, this one thing I do. And Jesus said to the rich young ruler, one thing that you like in your life. And we knew what that was. He wasn't willing to give up what he had to serve the Lord or to help others. So he had a stumbling block in his life. He wasn't willing to give up for the Lord. And then we see the busy Martha working in the kitchen, criticizing her sister Mary. And Jesus said to her, one thing is needful in your life. One thing. You need to sit at the feet of the Lord like your sister Mary. And worship. Praise. She got distracted. We get distracted very easily. And so, in Psalms 27 verse 4, David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord. Now, can you think today there's one thing that you desire of the Lord? All right, you may have never thought about it in that way. Because, you know, we know that the Lord provides everything we need in life. He sustains us with reading his word and through prayer. But is there one thing that you desire from the Lord? Have you prayed about it? Have you asked the Lord about it? Has he showed it in your scripture? Well, that's what David said. And David was close in touch with God. Because he was a man after God's own heart. And he said, there's one thing I desire. There was that relationship, that closeness. Did you understand what Paul said in verse 10? What he's saying? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Now that didn't mean being conformed to his death, that he was ready to go to the slaughter and die at that moment, because he realized that God had provided a minister for him to be involved in, because he told Ananias, you know, you take care of Paul, because he is going to suffer much for my sake. And I can see Paul saying, one thing that I desire of you, Lord, that whatever happens in my life, whatever circumstances that come through in my life, whatever suffering, I want to be like you, Jesus, that I would be able to identify with you in these situations or these circumstances in my life. Now, if we desire that, we'll have a better understanding of the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. If we desire something of the Lord, and if you want to narrow it down, you can do it like David. One thing, can you think of one thing? You pray about it and ask God to help you in that area, and he will. And Paul said, this one thing I do. You know what that means? That was a statement of devotion. This one thing I am devoted to you, Lord, no matter what. And he was. And he died for the sake of Christ. What a blessing Paul was. See, his Christianity was not a sideshow at all. Many of those days might have thought it was, because of what he did prior before he got saved. You know, he was going around persecuting the church and Christians, so they probably thought he was a circus clown going around doing things that, but he thought he was of God, but it wasn't. And God straightened him out on that. He wasn't a compartment of, this was not a compartment of his life. You see, a wheel has spokes. I was thinking about it. A wheel has spokes. And, you know, whether or not it's a bicycle or a car, a lot of things you see spokes on it. But a wheel has many spokes, and so do we in our lives. We have a lot of spokes going out in our lives. Now, if you think about it that way, like your work life, you have a lot of spokes going out, don't we? In our school life, in our hobbies, our family life, our church life. And the spokes have nothing to do with each other. The spokes don't. Now, your church life doesn't show up at work, on the ball court field, to view your family life at home. You never dreamed you also had that church life. Now, Jesus doesn't want to be a spoke, us to be spokes at all, does he? He wants to be the hub of our life. He wants to be the hub of the wheel. And he has to be in our life, of which all the spokes will grow and they connect to that hub. And you see, he's got to be the center. He's got to be the hub of all the spokes that's going out in our life. We've got to be connected that way. And that way we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Peter 3:18 says. That we are to grow in the understanding and the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only now, but in the years to come. So Christianity shouldn't be a compartment of our life, like it wasn't for Paul. It should be our life. We need to trade some commitments of this world, commitments to our Lord. D.L. Moody was a preacher. He was a promoter. He was an evangelist, and he did a lot of good things for the YMCA. He had many irons in fire. He had many spokes going out from his life. But when you narrow it down, Jesus Christ was the hub of all of his spokes. And he preached one Sunday night and said, "Go home and think about getting saved for a week. Then come back and we'll lead you to Christ." That was stated in one of his messages. And if you remember, I don't know, back during the great Chicago fire that killed thousands that week, including many who had attended that service where he preached that message, Moody decided to never preach without giving an invitation again, and that he needed to devote himself to evangelism only. "This one thing I do," would be what Dr. Moody would say. Just like Paul, "This one thing I do, I'm going to be devoted. I'm going to be focused more in my life of what God is directing me to do in my Christian life." Whether a mother, a father, a child, a youth, whatever that might be, got to be focused. "This one thing, I'm going to be devoted in my life." Then we have some direction in verse 14. "Forgetting those things which are behind." How many of you can forget those things behind? How many of you have forgotten those things that are behind you? They keep creeping up, don't they? You put them in the closet and you open the door and they come right back out on you, don't they? One thing you don't have to worry about, though, you know, the sins that you were forgiven at back when you got saved, God has already abolished all of that. So you can forget about those sins. Past, present, future. But we've still got to ask the Lord to forgive us of a sin on a daily basis in order to keep our relationship clean and pure and sanctified in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was saying, forgetting those things which are behind. So whether an amateur or a professional in a game of sports, there has been many a player on the floor, game floor or court, or on the field that have turned around and looked over their shoulder, tripped, and by doing that, they lose the game. You know, that happened to me. That happened to me when I was in sports in high school. You know, you look back and see, you know, how far ahead am I? Can I start coasting? And then that's when you trip up, fall. Things happen. The Bible says keep looking forward. Don't, Paul says, forgetting what's behind you, don't worry about it. Keep focused. Had a professor in Bible college said a similar thing. Whatever decisions you make in life, and if you prayed about it and you sought God about it, and you have peace about that, move forward. Never look back and say, "Well, did I make a right choice? Did I make a right decision?" Well, you did, because God was in it and he gave you peace about it. So move on. Don't ever look back. So in 2017, there's no looking back. We got to look forward. The past is past. No man putting his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's what Luke chapter 9 says. Jesus says, no looking back. Keep plowing. Keep pedaling. Keep moving. Going forward. So when you think of it, thank God for forgiving you the first time. So, thank God that he has forgiven you the first time and many times after that. Thank him for his forgiveness. John L. Rice, John Rice, didn't come up, but who lived in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I used to read his material, Sword of the Lord. He said this: no matter what you did in the past, your future is spotless. And that is true. So he was saying, no looking back at the past failures. Different things pass on. Babe Ruth, if you remember him and read about his success in baseball, all the home run what records that he had. But you know, he also had other records too, didn't he? Strikeouts. He had a lot of those too. Winston Churchill, there you go, we're back, said, success is ability to move from one failure on to the next. I was thinking about Abraham Lincoln. I liked studying and reading about him when I was in school and in history and so forth. And never one, if you never read about him and know about his life, of course, he was a politician. He was a lawyer. He was many things, probably many spokes going out in his life. But in 1831, he failed in business and he went bankrupt. In 1833, back on his feet, he failed again. In 1835, his fiance died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he ran for Speaker of the House. Guess what? He got defeated. Elector, he ran for that. He was defeated. In 1843, he ran for Congress. He was defeated. In 1848, he ran for Congress again, and he was defeated. In 1855, he ran for Senate, and he was defeated. In 1856, he ran for Vice President, and guess what? He was defeated. In 1858, he ran for Senate again. He was defeated again. In 1860, he ran for the President of the United States, and guess what? He was elected. One of the great presidents of the United States. Many don't think so. But he was a guy that was devoted to keep persevering, going on. If he'd ever stopped in 1831, when he failed at his business and running for office and he lost his fiance, then he would have failed. But he didn't fail because he never quit. You see, he moved from one failure to the next without quitting. So you see, success is getting up just one more time than you fall down. You think about that. No looking back in the past, bitterness. If anyone could be bitter in the Old Testament, guess who that would be? I'm thinking of Joseph. His 11 brothers sold him out. Sold him out. Left him to die. Whatever happened to him. But you know what? God used that to bring a nation together, to bring the family together. And he didn't hold that against him. God used it for his honor and glory and ended up blessing Joseph as a leader of a nation, brought that nation back where it should be, brought his family back together. He could have said, I'm in this situation because of what others did. No fault of my own. He realized forgiveness is a choice. I'm about through here. I hope so. So when we look at dissatisfaction, devotion, and direction in our lives, one more thing. We need to find a determination. Look in verse 14. I press towards the mark. What is that? Press towards the mark. Paul is saying, commit to a goal in your life. Select a goal. Make a goal in your life. Whatever that might be spiritually. Whatever that might be physically. Whatever that might be emotionally that you're struggling with. Make a goal in your life to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, help me through this. I've got many spokes going out in my life. You've been in the hub of my life. I know that I can make it through it. So we need to commit to a goal. And make this promise. And make a pledge to yourself. And say, by God's grace, I hereby pledge to focus on the goal to go forward for God in this new year. Whether it be individual or maybe for your family or maybe for your church or maybe a ministry that the Lord wants you to be involved in. Natchi was saying, hey, we need choir members. Hey, we need people to work in the children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministries, and other things that God's going to open up this year for us. So by God's grace, make a pledge to commit and go forward this year. And David said in Psalm 65:11, this is what he said, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. See, he was looking into the year. He was looking forward to what God was going to do. So he said, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And then when we think about crowning, as David said, a good year with goodness, we all would be like to strive for a perfect score. Like in verse 12, Paul used perfect in verse 12 to mean mature or complete. Just like Jesus, when he was on the cross, and when he gave up his last breath, he said, Lord, before he did, it's finished. Meaning, my task is complete. The reason I came to this earth is complete. I completed the task. The goal that you set forth in my life is completed. And in our lives, you know, it's not those things that are flawless, but those who are mature should press on in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that Christ will reveal and fill in any inconsistencies between what we are and what he wants us to be. You know, Christ's provisions in our life is no excuse for lagging devotion. And Paul says, I'm pressing on. But it provides relief and assurance for those who feel driven to do God's will. That's what he wants to do. Paul said, perfect, verse 12, meaning mature and complete. So, when you think about setting goals, there are four things there this morning that I've shared with you that you can focus on. You can focus on. And maybe there's other things that God has revealed to you or been wanting you to do, you know, in your heart. No, it can be up here in our mind, can't it? It can be all up here. But if it doesn't go to our heart, more than likely we won't do it. We won't follow through. We won't be fully committed or devoted to it. It has to be in our heart. Like David, a man after God's own heart. We will do our part, God will bless. And he'll get all the honor and all the glory. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. And thank you for letting me get through the service today with my voice. I praise you and I thank you for that. I thank you for everyone here today to worship, to praise you, to continue out throughout this year to place you first in our life. By coming together as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, to be fed, to be encouraged, to enjoy the fellowship and to enjoy your presence here in this sanctuary. And we know when we leave here, you'll be with us as well. But there's something special about coming together in this sanctuary and sitting and listening and singing and praising you to equip us for the week. And you had in mind, Sunday being the first day of the week, would prepare us what was going to take place for the remainder of the 6 days to help us to be equipped to take on anything that comes our way. And Lord, there are many things, many darts are flying out there that Satan are throwing at us. And we have a shield of faith, Word of God, to help us to deflect them and not get distracted, but keep our focus on you. You being a hub of the spokes in our life, if we will center on that and focus on that, we will go a long ways and be successful in everything we do in your name. Anyone here today that needs Christ Jesus, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to lead them down this aisle here today. Anyone looking for a church home, Lord, we welcome anyone wanting to come into this fellowship to serve and to worship and to do things for your kingdom. Lord, let your will be done. Let this invitation, as we sing, just as I am, that's the only way that we can come to you, unconditional love that you provide for each one of us. May we sing just as I am, and may we follow through with our devotion to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 342 is our hymn of invitation, just as I am. Let us stand as we sing.